Hi, readers. Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Ambie Cavanaugh is a Reiki master, astrologer, sound healer, life coach, and host of the podcast Alchemy with Ambie. With a unique focus on using astrological cycles and the seasons as a form of coaching, she considers herself a modern-day alchemist who serves as a catalyst for positive change in people's lives. Her book, Chakras and Self-Care, is an inspiring journey through the energetic centers of the body with meditation rituals and daily self-care. Now let's join Pat Stanko in conversation with author Ambie Cavanaugh.
Hi, everybody. I'm Pat Stanko, and thanks for joining us on today's Books Connect Us. We're here with author Ambie Cavanaugh, the author of the book Chakras and Self-Care. Thanks for joining us, Ambie.
Thank you for having me, Pat.
So, Ambie, you have a pretty interesting path to, you know, where you are now, and specifically the book that you just wrote that's out now. So can you talk a little bit about what your background is and, you know, how you've journeyed from being an entertainment lawyer to now a Reiki master and author?
Reiki master always makes me giggle. Just the term master always just makes me giggle because it's just very hierarchical. Yeah. Even I can't even speak. I'm Sri Lankan originally. My family are from Sri Lanka. I was not born in Sri Lanka, but that's my heritage. And so energy healing, ritual, self-care, astrology, homeopathic medicine has always been a huge part of my life growing up as a small child. But like any good immigrant parents, my parents kind of were like, you must get an education and you must do something that makes us proud. In other words, become a doctor, lawyer, dentist, engineer, or something like that. And actually, I chose of my own volition to become a lawyer. I decided to do so age 10 when my grandfather, who was a very famous lawyer in my native Sri Lanka, passed away. I had a very vivid dream where he told me that I was to become a lawyer and that I would have to do something very specific as a lawyer and then I would do something else. So it was very, very, very specific. And actually the dream was on the night he passed away, which is kind of freaky and amazing all at the same time. So I went on to become a lawyer, but you know, I was a litigator for years. I was an entertainment lawyer, and it was a very particular type of energy in that field. That's, you know, being a litigator, it's very aggressive. It's you're constantly in a war and conflict with someone. And I was a good litigator. I was good at using my energy and harnessing it in that way. But what I found is that even though I'd wanted to become a lawyer since I was 10, once I actually got there, I was just sort of, I wasn't as fulfilled as I thought I would be, you know?
Okay.
And looking back, maybe if I was doing human rights law or environmental law or some social justice, I would have been way more fulfilled for my soul's journey. But, you know, I wasn't fulfilled. And so I started really researching and studying all these other modalities of healing, of astrology, of essential oils, flower essences, all these things. And I had an auntie who was a Reiki master, and I had another auntie who was an astrologer. And so I learned a lot for them. And long story short, in my 30s, actually in my mid 30s, is when I had this complete life transformation, at a time when I guess you're supposed to have it, you know, have your act together, and mine decided to fall apart. And I moved country. I moved from London to America, Los Angeles, again, off the back of a weird dream. I took a 3-month sabbatical, came to LA, and was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live the life I've been living. And there's something else, but I'm not sure quite what it is. And what I found is that I ended up healing my own life. I ended up going through, you know, receiving a lot of energy healing sessions, receiving Reiki, understanding, having chart readings, understanding my chart much more, and understanding that astrology wasn't just this predictive thing. It was actually an art form that was quite mathematical and was about, you know, coincidences and synchronicities, and about patterns as above and so below. And all of this healing work and this kind of esoteric study that I sort of delved into just rebirthed me and my life into Alchemy with Ambie, which is, you know, what I do. It's about helping people create transformation in their life. And it's based off everything I learned, creating huge transformation and healing in my own life. So I very much walked my talk. And it's a joy for me to sort of take that lawyer brain in a slightly woo-woo area of, you know, expertise, in an area that can be, you know, I live in LA, so like everyone's an energy healer and everyone's a celebrity mm-hmm. energy healer and everyone's a this, that and the other. You know, it's LA. And I think, well, I'd like to think that what I bring to it is some pragmatism, some practicality, some facts, and just something actually really practical that people can use for tools for self-development in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely shows in the book, in the sense that it's very well structured, it's very actionable, you know, yeah. So I could see where you've taken your, you know, more like corporate background and then applied it to how to structure these teachings. So chakras and self-care, could you just give us, you know, someone like myself who doesn't have a ton of experience, and I probably should start working that in there in, you know, meditation or thinking about my energies. What exactly are the chakras? Like, just for someone who really doesn't have any background in this, what is the chakra system? And, you know, you talked about being, you know, this being a little woo-woo, like,
yeah.
Why is the energy flow a real thing that we should be thinking about?
You know, I mean, so chakra, the actual word is a Sanskrit word which means spinning wheel. And there were some ancient texts called the Vedas, which were written in Sanskrit, which identified the chakra system thousands and thousands of years ago as being these energy wheels in our bodies that connected, and you know, they use metaphors for everything because do so many of these spiritual texts, so those energy wheels in our bodies that connected what they call nadis, which is the Sanskrit word for rivers, which allowed prana, which is a Sanskrit word for life force energy, to flow through our bodies. So land was used as a metaphor for the physical body, and the seven main chakras were identified as different parts of the land which needed those rivers, those nadis, to be flowing fully for that prana, that life force energy to flow through them. And, you know, when you say that about energy, like energy is just, that word is just thrown around like, oh my God, someone's got bad. I mean, listen, I have written a number of humorous memes around energy and bad energy and this, that and the other, you know, it gets thrown around. So I think it's natural to have skepticism about energy healing because it gets, you know, thrown around so much in the self-help world. And sometimes we can think, oh gosh, that's really vague and meaningless. But when you think about it, science defines energy as matter. Matter which has the potential to cause changes, and the capacity, also energy is described as the capacity of a physical system to do work. And science also explains that energy, it's not created or destroyed, it simply mutates, it simply changes. So, and that everything is made of energy. I mean, the chair that I'm sat on, the microphone that I'm using, the computer that I'm using to connect to you, it's all made of matter, it's all made of energy, right? When we say that and we think about it in that sense, everything is energy, so why are we scared of understanding? You know, why is it that we have this skepticism towards our energy bodies, towards the fact that we have this physical body, but we also have an energy body inside? And it wasn't just, you know, the ancient Hindu scholars and sages who identified it. The Mayans, the Kabbalists, so many different cultures and religions have also talked about this energy body that we all have. So this is kind of quite universal across different cultures. But what I think is fascinating about this is, when you think about the central nervous system of our bodies, which we all acknowledge exists, right? Even if we're not scientists, we know that we have a nervous system. The central nervous system runs through the spine, right? It runs through the spine. And all the seven main chakras are also found and identified thousands of years ago, before they even had all the technology and understanding of science that we do now, as running in tandem with the spine. So by these invisible energy points that are by these key points of our nervous system. And our nervous system, as we know, controls, you know, the messaging that goes from the brain to the body. So it controls the parasympathetic nervous system, which is when we need to relax, when we need to rest, when we need to restore and recuperate. And the sympathetic nervous system, which is that fight or flight response, like, ooh, there's a big lion over there, I'd better run, you know, and escape from it. So when you think about it like that, our mind activates the parasympathetic nervous system and or the sympathetic nervous system. And so too, our mind activates the energy body, that the chakra energy body. And Therefore, our thoughts, our consciousness is creating a certain energy in our body, and whether or not that energy is positive or negative depends, and whether or not it benefits us or is actually to our detriment, depends on what those thoughts are and what that energy then ends up being. So I think the idea, you know, to me is that the way that the nervous system, especially the parasympathetic nervous system, is deeply connected to the chakra system, is showing us that in order for us as human beings to have homeostasis, to experience that kind of internal harmony of our mind, you know, within our bodies, we also need to be thinking about our energetic bodies, and we also need to be understanding that on an energetic level, we need to be optimal functioning, flowing, healthy energy flowing for us to really have an experience and enjoy good health, mind, body, and soul.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, staying on that sort of emotion and thoughts part, how does sort of like if I'm caught in traffic or I, you know, just got into an argument with someone, or, you know, or just sort of even more day-to-day, like general malaise is setting in. How does that, I guess, affect my energy, my health? And then, you know, what are some tips that you would give on a basic level on how to, you know, moderate how your emotions are affecting the rest of your health?
Well, you know, when you think of it like this, right, each of the main seven chakras corresponds to different areas of life and different themes. So when certain things happen in our lives, whether it's the traffic, whether it's someone being really rude to us, whether it's seeing something really distressing online, whether it's having an argument with somebody or whatever, it normally comes in the domain of one of those seven main chakras, that we either feel that, you know, we weren't able to speak up and say, hey, that's really, you shouldn't have spoken to me like that, that's really wrong, you know, or we feel our personal power has been eroded in some way, or we've been disrespected, or our heart's broken because of all the sadness and terrible things that we're seeing going on in the world. Every single day, something happens to mess with our energy system. And unfortunately, I say that, and I'm not a negative person, I'm very much that the glass is half full, but the reality is that, you know, you wake up, you get out of bed late, you stub your toe, you drop hot coffee over yourself, you're rushing, you're irritated, then you have to deal with somebody else's needs, or you deal with an annoying person in rush hour traffic, and then you get to work and deal with an annoying boss or co-worker, maybe not in 2020, but, you know, most of the time. The point is that because everything is energy and made up of energy, and we are energy bodies and we are surrounded by a field of energy, no matter where we're at within our internal state, other things are outside of our control, and other things will happen, little dings and pings will happen to throw us off in some kind of way, to throw our energy bodies off kilter. And I think what's really important is that, you know, we all have on a daily basis these habits. We have things like brushing our teeth every day. Hopefully everybody does that. Hopefully everyone's washing their hands as well. You know, we have our morning cup of joe. We do all these things. We go to the restroom. But we have also all these unconscious habits that don't necessarily serve us. Like we wake up and we start scrolling straight away, and then that maybe really throws us off because we haven't even been caffeinated and we see the terrible things that are going on in the world, and it upsets us. It breaks our heart. Or, you know, we have these other bad habits where they're just habits, but they're unconscious habits. And the whole point of my book is for each of us to understand that this isn't some woo-woo thing that's meant only for people who sit on top of a mountain and don't see anyone. This is for like normal people and their everyday lives. Like I want to see normal people accessing their energy bodies and practicing rituals and routines on a daily basis that can take anything from 5 minutes to half an hour, which we all have, that can help bring them back to themselves. So whether that's a simple breath, brain balancing exercise, you know, or a grounding activation where you just, you know, you've got a really busy day and something happens to throw you off. And so I have a little grounding exercise that people can carry out that can just bring them back in their bodies and just like, okay, I'm fine, I'm calm again. Or whether it's a gratitude exercise that, you know, I do personally before I go to bed every night, no matter what's going on in my own life that might be bad or how difficult it is. It's just these little exercises or rituals, shower meditations, energy healing baths, all things that we think sound maybe a bit like, you know, this luxurious self-care, but it's actually just very practical things. It's just taking your mind and your body and connecting the two of them in a way that kind of offsets those things that throw you off energetically and helps bring you back into a state of balance.
Right. So So let's say I'm one of those people. Uh-huh. I'm finally ready to
yay
to think about my energy system and my habits. What are, of course, aside from getting the book itself, what are some basic things I should have or are good first steps to get started? Because obviously, like, if you look through the book, there's, you know, setting up sacred altars and maybe things that, I don't know, are a little further along in the process. But, like, mm-hmm. what's a good way to get started and what are some good basics?
You know, I think for everyone, a journal where you brain dump, and I actually call it that, which made me giggle so much when I recorded the audiobook that I couldn't believe I called something a dump exercise. But I mean, there you go. We all go to the bathroom every morning, and well, I hope we do, because otherwise you're constipated, and that's actually a problem with one of your chakras. But anyway, I digress. A journal where you can just unload your thoughts without this is a brain dumping journal where you don't want anyone to read this journal and you don't need to read it. You don't need to read back the thoughts in your head. But the whole purpose of this journal is, and that's especially for people who are a bit skeptical, we all write things down, right? It's just somewhere where you can unload those thoughts in your head. Even if you're unloading, I don't know what to say, or I'm really irritated or whatever it is, just like writing things out is so cathartic. And such a practical, cathartic thing to do to get those thoughts out of our brains, because we wake up and we have so many thoughts in our brains. And if we don't unload that and literally take a dump, then we're going to go through, start our day with all of that in our head. Whereas actually getting it out onto pen and paper gets it out of your head, and it doesn't solve anything. But half the time, things don't necessarily need to be solved. They just need to be removed. So there's not all that internal chatter, that monkey mind, as we like to call it in yoga, that then really disrupts the flow of your day. So that's something I recommend, journaling. And journaling for a brain dumping journal where you do not read it back. You can burn it at some point if you want to look at it like a year later, like I've done that and gone, gosh, I was in a weird place at that time. But that's fine. But the whole point is just getting those thoughts out and onto paper. Super cathartic. Another great thing, you know, sage burning. You'd be so surprised at how much the five senses, just like, we know what it's like when you smell something nice, and maybe it's cooking, and maybe it's like just a familiar smell from your childhood. But burning sage has actually been proven to have antimicrobial properties. And so burning sage is just a really, and people always say to me, God, I feel so good in your space. It's like, I'm not surprised, I'm burning everything in here apart from the actual place. But you know, burning sage, or just lighting a candle, or lighting some incense, or diffusing some oil, it may sound like, really, is that going to make me feel much better? But it's just a little ritual that you have that means that when you start your day, you're smelling something that you really like. Maybe it's a scented candle. Maybe you're just saging yourself. Maybe you're diffusing an essential oil. Maybe you're lighting an incense stick with a smell that you really like. Like connecting to your senses and can just immediately put you in that space where you're like, it's like listening to your favorite song. Again, that's something else to think about. Like for me, I love the sounds of, I really miss rain, you know, coming from London and now living in Los Angeles where we have constant droughts. And so for me, listening to rain music, you know, listening to rain music, because I find the sound of rain so soothing and so healing. It's just like finding those things that really your senses connect to, you know, your senses connect to, and doing that, because when you're connecting with your senses for a moment, you're being really mindful and present in that moment. And that in itself is so restorative to your energy.
So you would suggest, instead of waking up and going on Twitter, write in a journal and burn some sage.
I would always say is like, have a little ritual in the morning. Get up in the morning. Maybe you make your cup of tea, your cup of coffee, whatever it is. Don't turn your phone on for like, please, at least half an hour. It makes such a difference to your mental health. You know, allow yourself to connect to the day. Look outside. See, is it rainy? Is it warm? Is the sun up? Is it down? What's going on? What do the clouds look like? Look at all of that. You know, set an intention. What do I have going on today? Okay, you know, I've got a lot in my head. Do I need to make a list maybe of like the three most important things I need to get done today and everything else can be part? Do I need to brain dump and just like get out all these fears or negative thoughts or whatever? Do that. Maybe light a candle or something that smells nice, or just do something that's a ritual for your mind, body and soul, and then start your day. Then turn your phone on, the email on, the news. You know what? That stuff can wait. It can wait. It can always wait for half an hour. But when you start your day and turn your phone on or your computer on straight away. That's just like the worst thing you can do for yourself energetically.
Yeah. I definitely can't argue with that. I feel like a lot of your statements, your discussion of this should also end with a case closed.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's kind of like, this isn't, you know, listen, I'm a lawyer. I'm still a lawyer.
It's there.
I know you can tell, right? I'm very argumentative, persuasive in my arguments, just not quite as psychotic now because I'm not a litigator.
So let's just talk about, maybe you said there are seven different, you know, energy systems or chakra
energy
systems.
Energy systems, yeah.
So let's talk first about what is the root system.
So the root chakra is the first of the seven main chakras, and it's the foundational chakra. And it's really about our roots. It's about our very foundations. And so, you know, in the olden days, this was literally about survival. This was about food. This was about shelter. This was about having liquid and water to drink. But nowadays, it's because we live in, you know, this spoilt time with all these modern amenities and luxuries. It's about still about those things. It's about the things that hold us, that root us, that ground us to the earth plane, like food, like shelter, like our homes, like our well-being, you know, having our needs taken care of. But it's also really about the things that make us feel safe. What's interesting about this year is I think the collective root chakra is so out of whack because, you know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Everyone, whoever you are, even the people that don't believe that this is a pandemic, have some type of fear, whether they're having fear that their rights are being taken away because they're being forced to wear masks and they may get vaccinated, or whether it's the rest of us who are kind of like, oh my gosh, like I'm going out. Am I safe? Am I, oh God, someone breathed on me. Oh gosh, I accidentally touched my face after going to the grocery store and I didn't wash my hands. You know, we're in a state of survival, of fear and of survive, like trying to survive. And you saw that with everybody buying up all the toilet paper and all the Clorox wipes. Like really, this is not a pandemic that, as far as I know, causes mass diarrhea. Yeah, everyone was buying up toilet paper. And it was literally like, oh my God, like I need to survive. I need to be safe. I need to have enough stuff. And people went out and they just bought too much, you know? And it was really, that to me was such a fascinating, as I was observing it, and I was also like, oh my God, my husband, like, we don't have enough toilet paper, whoops, because everyone else had bought it. But it was really an example for me of watching and seeing how much the root chakra was out of, you know, whack. And even now, 6 months into the pandemic, especially in America, with everything that's been brought up and, you know, with a very divisive election around the corner, the collective root chakra is out of whack because we are literally feeling as though we are fighting for survival and our right to live peaceful like lives where we have all we need, because a lot of people, you know, are experiencing very real loss as a result of the pandemic, whether it's their jobs, whether it's their incomes, whether it's putting food on the table for a lot of people has been very difficult. So this has been very, very real. And when our root chakra is out of whack in that way, easier said than done, and I certainly don't want to diminish the very real fears that some people are experiencing and having to live through, but it's so important to ground ourselves and to ground ourselves by connecting ourselves to the earth plane and to tuning out that noise of there isn't enough, everything's going to go wrong, we're not going to survive. Like there has been global pandemics before, and yes, there's been huge loss of life, and I'm certainly not diminishing this pandemic, but we have survived and evolved through this, and we will do that once again, you know. There is inevitable tragic loss, but we will survive. And I think it's so important to come back to yourself. So if you're watching too much news or scrolling through social media too much, your root chakra is going to get even more out of whack and you're not going to get a chance to restore it. If you turn everything off and go out into nature and spend a bit of time looking at the natural world, you will look at those cycles of the natural world and see that the cycle of decay that we're about to go through with fall and then winter is natural, and yet spring always comes once again. Summer always comes once again. And so it's just connecting to Earth and life on Earth and understanding that this is just another cycle that humanity is going through. And as much as it's destructive, it has purpose and it is necessary. And the majority of us are so blessed that we will get through this. And those who are in need, you know, there's resources out there to get help. But panicking about it doesn't really help, if you see what I mean. But again,
So what is you know, maybe an example of whether it's a daily practice or something you think someone could do when they are putting themselves in that position to maybe reconnect with nature or to, you know, try and calm themselves from that sort of like constant fight or flight feeling that
yes, absolutely. Well, the daily practice to me would be notice what's going on with you. Like, I notice if I'm on Instagram sometimes and it just gets too much and I just remove the app for a few days and go offline, or if I'm looking at the news too much and I find myself down this hole of reading the comments section, I just, you know, notice what is throwing you off and making you your sense of security feel threatened and making you feel unsafe and uncertain about your basic needs being taken care of, and turn to what grounds us is getting organized, right? So whenever I feel like that, it's like, okay, maybe I have 10 bills and I can't pay all of them at once, but if I organize them, if I file them, if I put them in a file and start having conversations with those people that I need to pay the bills to, I'm going to start bringing some order. No one's going to, you know, I'm going to be okay. Like, lots of people are in this situation. Like, I'm going to bring order to that chaos. It's about bringing order to the chaos. So for example, when you go outside and you take your socks and shoes off and put your feet onto the earth, I guarantee you, I know some people aren't into doing that and it can be a little bit like hippie-fied, like I do hug trees, I will admit. But you know what? When I go on my walk sometimes with my son, I hug a tree and people might look at me like I'm weird, and I'm just like, this tree has been around a long time. And so this tree makes me feel like no matter what, this tree is still standing. It has weathered the storms. It immediately grounds me. It reminds me of nature heals us, you know? Trees have been proven. Forest bathing is a really big thing. And I know not many of us are lucky enough to live near forests. I live in the very urban LA. But even going for a quick 10-minute walk around your neighborhood and not scrolling, but just being present, looking up, look at the leaves on the trees, look at the flowers, look all around you, look at the sky, look at the sun, look at the clouds, take it all in. That's a mindful meditation, even though you're not sitting in silence like a yogi meditating. That's actually a mindful walk, which is a meditation in itself. Very simple, very effective, and free.
Yeah, I feel like in my life, like, I don't even think of it that way, but, you know, like, I run every day.
Meditation.
And that's probably the most, and it's a thing that I know I just, like, force myself to do, because if I didn't, I would just, not even just the physical, but just be, like,
mentally
upset.
Yeah. You need it. It's a release for you. So what is it that's a release for each person listening? It's a different thing. For some people, for me, it's cleaning. When I'm cleaning, I'm not in my worries. I'm worrying about, I'm taking that energy and focusing it and harnessing it, to channeling it towards getting the house clean. And actually, I find it really cathartic. Plus, I end up with a clean house. So it's a weird, you know, it's weird the things that we can find. It can be, you know, I don't want anyone to feel, and I say this in my book, it's like, take what works for you. You know, for some of us, for me, it's the essential oils, it's diffusing them, it's the incense, it's all of those kind of things. It's meditation. That's not for everyone. Find what takes you out of your mind and which makes you mindful and in the present moment, and because that will restore you so much.
Well, let's talk about one more chakra, which is, and maybe this is one that, I don't know if more people are ignoring it now during these really like tough times. So can you tell us, what is the sacral chakra?
Yeah, well, the sacral chakra is sort of the house, what houses joy, you know? So actually that's very pertinent that you bring that up, because it's really relates to creativity. It relates to sex. It relates to pleasure in all forms. So that can be creativity. That can be sex. That can just be what we do for enjoyment. And I think that the sacral chakra for most of us has been really out of whack this entire year, because we had stay at home orders. We were forced inside. You know, I know for me, I wasn't able to go out and hike, which is like my number one thing that gives me so much pleasure. And literally the parks and the trails were all shut down for so long. And for all of us, like during this time of global pandemic, I think it's been really difficult for all of us because we have been so focused on surviving. I think it's been extremely challenging for us to experience joy and pleasure, because so many of the little things the big things that we did for joy and pleasure were sort of, you know, taken away from us. Like, for example, I mentioned, like, you know, I wasn't able to go on the trails and hike like I used to, or the beaches were shut for quite a while here in LA. So I couldn't connect to nature, which is my number one sort of temple, church, everything. But also other things, like we can't go out and see our friends. You know, we haven't been able to do things that really give us pleasure and joy, because we've been so focused on surviving and because so much has been, we've been so restricted. And I think what's important about that, and what I have certainly learned this year during the pandemic, is how can I find joy in small moments? What are the little things that I can do that can give me joy on a daily basis? Because it's there, you know what I mean? And when we look at people who live in countries where they experience so much more of these challenging circumstances, just that's just their life, right? That's just where they are. Third world countries, countries which are dealing with all kinds of other issues, you realize that those people find joy. They dance in the mud. That, you know, the children are dancing and singing in the rain. There's like, they're doing these things and they're finding joy and tapping into that. And I think for us, that's a really important lesson for the collective. And, you know, find joy can be having your cup of tea or coffee on or outside, literally taking it outside and sitting on your porch stoop and just like looking at the people going by and maybe just like taking in that fresh air for a moment. You know, joy can be having a little dance party at home with your partner or by yourself or on Zoom with someone. I know everyone's totally over Zoom, but like we have to learn how to find joy in the small moments, because that's actually the big moments. When you look in life, it's not necessarily, if we're limiting joy to when I get to go on a vacation, when life is completely back to normal, then I'll be happy. No, you need to be creative with how you experience joy, even during these times when so much is restricted and even during these times which are challenging. And also, you know, one of the things I've been talking about with a lot of my friends is that how joy is an act of resistance as well. You know, it's an act, like joy matters, you know, and it's important for us to understand that even when we're doing a lot of the work to bring more equality and justice to, which is much needed, you know, to our society, we must also not rob ourselves of self-care and joy in that process, because that is needed to kind of balance the scales. Otherwise, we end up completely burnt out. And if you're burnt out, you can't really help anyone. And you certainly can't help yourself.
So what is a way that you've been finding joy,
you know,
just day to day, you know, whether it's before this or, you know, during these last few months?
I mean, for me, it's getting out the house. And, you know, I had a very, well, my baby's now about to turn one, but before the pandemic, I was writing a book with a newborn. And so for me, I had three markers for if it's a good day. And that was if I had a shower and if I left the house and went for a walk, and if I did something small for myself, something, whether that was had a phone call with a friend or whether that's just like spent 10 minutes, you know, meditating or just did something, or 10 minutes browsing for clothes I like online. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, but like I would try and do those three things every single day. And I would find joy in those small moments. So just like for me, going out the house was super exciting. You know, it's like, yes, we're going to go on our daily walk and we'd all look forward to it. And we'd all kind of like, you know, make our way outside of the house. But also, you know, memes, sorry, like just saying, like my big thing is memes. I tell you, memes have just healed me. Comedy, you know, just never underestimate. I'm so grateful for all those funny people out there, whether it's a funny show, whether it's just like people, you know, producing these hilarious, like belly aching memes. That's part of my daily thing. It's like, I try and laugh, like get into a really good belly aching laughter once a day. And sometimes that's just like hilarious messages exchanged with my brother, who's very funny and has a very dry sense of humor. Sometimes it's like just talking to a friend about something really silly. And sometimes it's just like literally looking at animal memes online and I'll just crack up, or animal videos or things like that, because that laughter is so important for our immune system, and it's so important for our mental health as well. So it's there, it can be accessed. And, you know, just know, I think I always want people to know, like, joy is your birthright. Like, you can, I know this year's bringing up a lot of very heavy stuff for us to deal with, and we all need to be part of dealing with that, but you still need to experience joy in the process.
Mm-hmm. It seems too, like a lot of this is also just about being conscious of these things that might already be there, you know, because when you bring up things like texting with your brother or enjoying, you know, comedy online, it might be stuff that we are getting, but then we are not as maybe as like conscious of it as you seem to be. You know, or like getting the full amount of joy out of it.
Yeah, it's just, but I think that's where when you are present to all the miracles around you. right? But when you're somewhere else, when you're worrying about the future, when you're spinning into the past, like whatever it is, you know, regretting the past, you're not present in the present day moment. You can't see what's around you. You can't see the wood for the trees. And I think that's why getting clear-headed is one of the best things you can do to start your day. And ending your day with gratitude, when I go through that gratitude list, you know, just before I go to bed every night and I'm lying in bed, like literally I'm saying thank you for the silly little things and then the big things. And when I'm thinking about all the things that I'm really grateful for, I vibrate, like I can feel my body. It's just like my heart feels better. You know, I go to sleep not thinking about all the things that I'm sad about and that are awful and that, you know, a lot of things feel like outside of my control. I go to sleep with a happier heart, and that helps me fall asleep, which helps me be more effective the next day when I wake up at being part of the positive change, you know, of trying to be like a little beacon of light in my own unique way. And I think that's so important. It's just like we always talk about, we're kind of conditioned to talk about the things that are wrong with the world and that are bad. And I think it's important to acknowledge those things and not to sort of spiritually bypass. But I think it's equally as important to talk about what's going right and what's good. And, you know, I follow these good news sites online and I love reading about like happy stories because it balances out some of the other very real stuff that's going on. And it brings me joy to see that there are, yes, there's a lot of darkness, but there are so many wonderful souls out there doing wonderful things. And that just gives me personally so much happiness. I can't even tell you. Like it just might, even now my heart chakra is like, yeah.
Well, I'm glad this podcast taping then ended up being something to bring some joy. So to wrap up here, you could put on your lawyer's cap, give a little closing statement. You know, obviously the book isn't promising, you know, to completely make, you know, make people rich or make them the happier than they've ever been or anything like that. But if you could tell us, give us your closing statement on why, you know, readers are going to get something out of this book, out of Chakras and Self-Care.
You know, it's the book I wished I had when I started my journey in 2008, like really started my spiritual journey. And it's the book that I feel could have helped me so much at that time, which is why I've ended up writing this book. And I feel no matter who you are, no matter what walk of life you're from, we're all, you know, come from very different backgrounds. This book, it can in some way help you reconnect to yourself and to be empowered, and empowered by simple rituals and routines that over time will quickly make a very significant difference in your life. And you know, I'm not very good at selling myself, so maybe that wasn't the best way of doing it. But hey, even if you're an energy skeptic or you think that these things are woo-woo, I encourage you to just check it out. Just check it out. Try one of the rituals. See what it does for you. And just in your own unique way, whether it's through my book or through not, just be open to energy, because energy really is everything. And energy never dies. It's never born. It's just always there. It just mutates. And so you have the power to co-create using the energy that you have within you and the energy that's around you. And just know that and be empowered that you can make a change in your life and others' lives.
Great. Well, thanks, Ambi, for sharing your energy with this podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations again on the book.
You're awesome. Thank you ever so much. And love your little runs and your mindful runs. That's awesome.
And now, here's an exclusive excerpt from the audiobook, courtesy of Penguin Random House Audio.
In this chapter, I will introduce you to the history of the chakras and help you build your foundation of knowledge. You will learn about the seven major chakras, the many key concepts and terms associated with chakra energy healing, and the tools that you can harness to begin your journey. There will also be a practical exercise to help you connect to and evaluate your chakras so you can begin understanding how to restore any energetic imbalances. What is a chakra? As mentioned in the introduction, chakra is a Sanskrit word meaning spinning wheel. Sanskrit is the ancient Vedic language used in India, and the term chakra was first described in Vedic scriptures thousands of years ago. In ancient texts called the Vedas, the chakras were described as being connected by nadis, Sanskrit for rivers, which allowed prana, Sanskrit for life force, to flow through our bodies. Many ancient spiritual texts use metaphors and symbolism as part of their teachings. The Vedas use land as a metaphor for the physical body, with the seven main chakras as different parts of the land, and the nadis as the rivers that connected and flowed between them. In order for the land to flourish, each of the seven parts needed to be watered by the rivers that flowed freely and fully without hindrance. Using this symbolism, the scriptures taught that in order for us to experience optimum life force, to have the best physical and emotional health, and to flourish, all the chakras needed to be open and spinning, thus allowing energy to flow freely throughout the body. If any of the chakras were not performing optimally, energetic imbalance or blockage could ensue, leading to physical, emotional, spiritual, and life issues. While the first references to chakras were found in Hindu scriptures, the teachings of Buddhists, Tibetans, Mayans, and Kabbalists, among others, acknowledge the chakras and refer to a similar system in their teachings. As humanity has evolved, we have explored wellness outside the realms of traditional medicine and in many cases looked to our ancestors for age-old solutions to modern-day problems. Practices such as yoga, which also originated in India, have become popular, and slowly but surely the teachings of the chakra system of self-care have come to the forefront as age-old tools for holistic healing. Is chakra energy real? Many people may be skeptical of energy healing and perhaps think of it as being woo-woo or quackery. Maybe you are even a little unconvinced of its merits right now. However, energy healing has become more widely practiced outside of alternative healing and has been integrated into modern medicine. For example, doctors use forms of energy healing such as vibrational sound energy or infrared lasers for treatments, and some hospitals offer Reiki, an energy healing practice. These treatments are even covered by many medical health insurance policies as alternative treatments similar to acupuncture, which provides healing using fine needles placed at specific points along the body to bring energy into alignment. As you can see, energy healing is becoming increasingly more mainstream. Energy is a word that gets thrown around a lot in the self-help world. It is the subject of many motivational quotes and some humorous memes, so it may seem a bit of a vague and meaningless term, but this is far from the truth. In short, energy is formally defined by science as both matter, which has the potential to cause changes, and the capacity of a physical system to do work. Science explains that energy cannot be created or destroyed, only changed. Science also dictates that everything, including the chair you are sitting on, and indeed your body, is made of energy. Each of our bodies is also surrounded by a field of constantly changing energy. For our bodies to be capable of work, and for certain aspects, for example body parts or areas of life, to work, our energy will need to operate in a particular manner. For the purposes of engaging our chakra system, when we talk about energy, we mean the prana, life force, that flows through our body and allows us to function. The seven major chakras. The chakra system is a network of channels consisting of different energy wheels. While there are over 100 different chakras, seven of these are the main chakras that form the foundation of our energy bodies. These start from the base of the spine and travel through to the crown of the head. Each of these seven chakras relates to specific organs within the body, as well as various emotional, psychological, and spiritual states. The root chakra is at the base of the spine, and further up is the sacral chakra, which is found around 2 inches below the belly button. Then there is the solar plexus chakra in the abdomen. At the chest is the heart chakra. Moving up in the neck is the throat chakra. Between the eyebrows is the third eye, or brow chakra. And finally, at the top of the head, we have the suitably named crown chakra. How does energy flow? Our central nervous system controls most functions of the body and mind and is composed of our brain and our spinal cord, with the latter serving as the conduit for signals between the brain and the rest of the body. The chakra system of self-care teaches us that the energy flows along the spine and shows us the powerful connection between our mind and body and the important role the mind plays in our physical health. Sushumna is a Sanskrit name for the central nadi, the dominant river of energy that flows through the body, running through the spinal cord and each of the seven chakras to the brain. The word comes from sukha, meaning joyful, and mana, meaning mind. Our mind activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is essential to maintain balance and harmony, as well as our sympathetic nervous system, which commands the fight or flight stimulant response. The parasympathetic nervous system is deeply connected to the chakra system, as it lies within the energetic points in the body that correlate with the chakras. Our bodies are complex operating systems, but they have a simple objective: to maintain homeostasis, or a balanced internal state that allows for optimum functioning. Just as the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems work together to help us perform energetic feats when needed and to restore peaceful energetic states in order to maintain a harmonious balance, other parts of our bodies also work to maintain homeostasis.
Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.